Welcome to the Digital Marketing Podcast, brought to you by targetinternet.com. Hello and welcome back to the Digital Marketing Podcast. My name is Kieran Rogers.
I'm Louise Crossley.
And I'm Daniel Rowles.
And today we're talking about generating content.
So I like the way that Kieran started that one because I had put on the title AI generated content and he purposely took out the AI bit because he's got the ump about AI at the moment because I just made it to another episode on AI about 10 seconds ago. So let's get, and this is a good point actually because my first bullet point on here was it's not just about AI and SEO, which is the thing everyone's discussing at the moment, right? It's just that you can use this AI generated content and it's great for search optimization. And then there was this update in March of 2024, and basically Google knocked the wind out of the sails of a huge amount of people that have been generating loads of content using AI. And really that update was the core update in March, and it was all about quality of content. And I'm going to get into that in a moment, okay? But this isn't just about that. What this is about is effectiveness and efficiency in what we do on a day-to-day basis. And I'm going to take you to a study that was done at Imperial College. So as a lot of you know, I'm a program director at Imperial College. I look after the digital transformation program. I look after digital marketing on the MSc programs and some of the MBA programs. And there was a big study done by the Data Science Observatory. Professor Mark Kennedy heads up a lot of this stuff. And they looked at this particular organization, massive global organization, and they took 80,000 different job roles. And we'll link in the show notes through to all the details of this. And basically took those 8,000 job roles and chopped them up into tasks. So, you know, writing emails, creating reports, creating emails, all this different stuff. And then looked at the likelihood of those being automated or assisted by AI. And the numbers that came out from that were something around 40% of those tasks will end up being AI automated over the next, it was 5 years at the time, but looking at the data now, I think it's actually even sooner. I was then at a UCL, University College London event last week, and they've got some amazing professors there around marketing science. So a lot of the analytics, AI, all those kind of things. And again, we'll link through to some of the things from the event. But they were saying, well, at least 20% of pretty much every role that does something kind of office-based will be automated in the next 24 months. So then the question is, what do you do with that time? Right? It's not saying jobs are going to disappear. I mean, some will. But actually, we did a podcast last time and we had a review that said, I need to stop saying actually. And now I can hear myself saying actually, which is making me say actually more. And the person that drinks a coffee every time I say actually has just had 7 coffees. So,
right, okay, here's what we're going to do. Louise, could you cut and paste all the actuallys from this episode into a little reel and we'll shove it after the credits to see how bad it is? There you go, Daniel. Is that helpful?
Yeah,
is that helpful?
Yeah, thanks. Really helpful.
We'll cut them out and we'll put them in at the end.
Maybe you have to beep them out to stop the poor people drinking coffee every time I do it. Anyway, so what do you do with that time? And my feeling is we're going to become more effective, we'll become more efficient. But actually, you need to think really carefully about what differentiates your brand then. Right? Because if we could all do the same stuff and we can do it quicker, like social media, everyone starts doing the same stuff and we do more of it. That's not really the solution here at all. The solution is to differentiate by doing something better, more valuable. But I really like the idea that we might take that time to be more innovative and creative, because in a fast changing environment, to actually stay up to date and to compete, you need to disrupt yourself. You need to go, how can we do stuff differently? And therefore, I think there's a really strong piece about innovation and creativity and having, I love the idea of having more time to take a little bit of a lean back. I know it won't happen because that void will be filled with other nonsense, as it often is. But I love the idea of saying, actually, we start to value creativity. We start to value innovation. We start to structure innovation and say, we have to be innovative. And actually, that takes time. And that takes reflections and conversations and all those kind of great things as well. So
it's the same thing. You've always had this arms race with tools, isn't it? Like we've always seen it. And marketers, we know guys, you're all obsessed with tools. And Daniel and I learned that teaching marketing with hundreds and hundreds of different marketers. It's always about the quick wins and the tools. And I think that comes out of the fact that, you know, ours is a very demanding and busy industry. There's a million things that all have to be attended to. I always think of it a bit like that end of the pier game where you have little gophers poking their heads up and you have to bash them and they get faster and faster and eventually you just get overrun with gophers.
Whack-a-mole.
And like a lot of days, marketing can feel like that, right? It's just like, but I think you're right. I think more time, like just simple things really can make a huge difference. Take time to walk in your customer's shoes. Oh my goodness, it's such a valuable thing. And AI can't do that for you, but you can. You know, if you free up time, walk through, go and look at what your email automation is churning out on a daily basis and ask yourself, hey, could we make this better? Does this actually even make sense? Have we got this right? Like, how can we improve it? And I think, you know, tread down the path less trodden is the other thing. You know, if you watch anything on YouTube, the world and his wife are all doing these like webinars, automated webinars and things. So, well, what could we do that's better than that?
My favorite thing at the moment.
We could actually have a proper event and get together face to face. So people still love that actually because it's unusual now.
I love what happens. Is that people do something, have some success with it, and then it becomes a bit of a formula for success. If you do it this way, it'll work. Yeah. And then everyone jumps onto it. So peak LinkedIn, right? So it's that whole line, like whack mad statement or amazing question, or like I did this and it created a disaster. And then you leave two lines, so you have to click more to read more. And then you leave a line between each thing and it goes on and there's emojis on each of them. My blood boils when I see posts like this as well. And
yeah, I can't stand the formatting of those posts.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that actually, it worked first of all because it was intriguing and now it's just like clickbait, right? And it just feels we're not taking people seriously. What we're doing is trying to game an algorithm. So, and I know for a fact, if I go tell it to the day, it'll work, all right? But if I go in and go, I was at this amazing thing and there's a picture of these people and they did this thing. It's like, oh, behind the scenes stuff, everyone engages with it because it's pretty human. That will work a million times better. So we did this amazing thing. So we do this thing called the Leap Program. It's like an entrepreneurial program for JCG, which is a girls' school over here in Jersey, and they encourage girls internationally to get involved in these great innovation programs. And they were doing it in Rwanda. And I did some teaching remotely. And then all these kids in Rwanda just made a video saying, oh, I love digital marketing. And we posted it online. And it just went absolutely bonkers. And it was just like, do you know what? It's just some kids saying something and it's a really nice thing. And it's authentic.
Refreshingly different,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I think it's actually just saying, if you could be a bit more human about it. So I think we've got to be careful because you get these AI tools, you can make yourself efficient, you can do the same stuff more quickly, and it all goes down the garden path of being the same. And actually, if we could step back and go, what would be a little bit more original? What would be a little bit different? What would be a bit more creative? I think that helps.
Well, maybe the issue is people trying to force creativity through these tools. And I don't know that they're particularly brilliant at that. They can definitely help. You know, I've been using a really brilliant platform called Crisp, spelled with a K.
Okay.
Right, this has been one of my new finds. And I got it because I have a problem. I have three very noisy dogs and I spend a lot of my time on Zoom calls and Teams calls. And it's just embarrassing, right? When the dog, like, my dogs literally start howling if my wife comes to the door.
It's like, you saying this to me is, you know, I just chortle at your problems compared to having two beagles. I mean, mine are animals. I say they're nice. They're velociraptors that are hugely noisy.
So get this, right? I install Crisp. I get it all working. And my dog is actually howling. And the people on the Zoom call are none the wiser. Like uses AI to smooth. And it's fantastic. Like if it can stop a howling dog, it can stop anything.
Nice.
So and it's lovely. It integrates with everything. But then I discovered, and I wasn't expecting this because I got it there to solve the dog problem, right? Then I discovered that actually it also writes out a transcript of every meeting that I have. And then there's a summarize button. You click summarize and it pulls out all the action points and gives you a very brief summary of the meeting. And there's a lot of AI out there. Crisp, I would have to say, personally, I think it's brilliant. but there's lots of platforms out there that do that. But stuff like that, that's helpful. That's really useful. Because actually I've got a record of key thought, and actually I've been trying to catch it out. It's missed things, but it always has a lot more things than actually went into my notes. So yeah, game on. Like things like that, I'm all for. But it's not like it's doing the legwork, isn't it? It's not particularly like rocking my world with creativity necessarily.
No, and I think that's fine. I think there's that assisting. There's that piece, the assistance piece. But I mean, you can see this is what Google have got as well, with the whole focus on eat. And there's all, we talked about this in an episode recently. So expertise, experience, authoritativeness, and trust. What they're trying to do is to go through and say, how do you demonstrate that in content? How can we analyze content to understand that you're actually demonstrating that? Because an AI is not inherently going to be able to give you experience and expertise and demonstrate its authoritativeness and its trust. So they've kind of flagged up the fact that good quality content now needs to give examples and case studies and how-tos and different scenarios. So it adds some value to the conversation, because otherwise you're just an encyclopedia. You're just kind of going through and saying, this is a thing. Whereas actually you can go, there's nothing wrong with that if you're the most thorough answer to something. But I think it, you know, there's all this debate now, or is it a direct ranking factor? And it's like, it's not really about that. And this is the problem. We get myopic about looking at the algorithm or these factors or this particular tool, or this is how you should do a LinkedIn post. And actually, the more you step back and go, wait a minute, how can we do this creatively? How can we do it interestingly? So I do a lot of training courses, and one of them we talk about, you know, Rand Fishkin's 10x content. We'll put it in the notes. I'm not going to go through it again. But I tell people, go and look at the five best bits of content. We'll do a quick fire version of it, and then tell me how it would be better. And invariably, all they do is say, well, if I was going and I wanted this, I wouldn't want it like this. I'd want it like this. And it's like, oh, you're just walking in your customer's shoes, like Kieran's been telling us for every day for the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. So this is the thing of, like, if you go in and you search for a recipe, you don't want four pages of rambling text, loads of ads in it, so they can put ads into it. Okay. And then you get a little bit more subtle and you say, well, I'm going to put a video of the recipe in, but actually I'm going to have a long pause when you pause it, because if I'm cooking, I need to wash my hands before I touch the screen, or wipe my hands at the very least. So just thinking about, what does the actual user experience look like? And what was interesting to me, I was doing a project with a very large UK retailer, and they did some stats, and 84% of people under the age of 30 came out and said the reason they choose a particular online retailer is the user experience. It's the seamlessness and the streamlining of the user experience. So just by focusing on that, you might not have better products, you might not have better prices, but actually, because it's a better experience, people are more likely to use what you're offering. So I think we underestimate that user experience massively, and we over-focus on the myopic details of this is how you should do this. And by doing that, you just become the same as everyone else.
You just have to realize that quick isn't always best. Mm. I think that's the key takeaway from this that I've seen. Like, if you're not, and that's really why you need to take that extra time that you've gained and put it to good use. You know, that's what gives you the edge over the machines at the moment. So you know, we should all be leveraging on that.
A couple of tips, something I've always been a fan of, and I've gone back to recently, with Seth Godin. And Seth has, you know, put out a blog post every single day for years. I mean, like a daily blog post every day. Some of them are there like 10 words. Some of them are a few paragraphs. But there's insight in every single one. And when you listen to any of his books, and he always does the audio for his own audio books, which makes them even better. There's some absolute gems in there. And it's that whole piece of, like, one, turning up. I try and teach my kids this all the time, but it's that whole thing. If you just turn up and keep working at something, that has a huge impact, I think, first of all. But also, it's you understand your target audience and your role with that target audience, rather than you obsessing about the tools and the various other things that you've got to kind of achieve that as well. So I think, you know, go back to basics. Who are your target personas? What's the user journey look like? How do you actually improve that? The more this gets faster and faster, the more that becomes really, really important. And that's how you kind of differentiate yourself. And I increasingly find myself on websites going, oh, this is a brilliant experience. This is really thought through. As opposed to, you know, I can't remember that TikTok video I looked at. I looked at 10 million of them and I don't remember a single one of them. So it's that thing of, like, actually differentiation now becomes really important, which means brand becomes really important as well. And that's a key thing.
Can I bring up that Apple advert?
What, the crashing creativity
about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get what they were going with it.
I get what they're going with it.
So if you're not aware, briefly through it.
Misplaced.
Briefly through it.
Yeah. Right. So Apple did this TV ad where they literally showed loads of creative tools just being crushed in a crusher. And the answer was obviously the iPad.
It's thinner now. So the whole point they were making is the iPad is now the thinnest it's ever been.
Everything's compressed into
it. Much smaller space.
It was nihilistic in the extreme, really, wasn't it?
Seeing musical instruments being crushed is like, this doesn't feel
good.
It was
like the death of the entire human experience.
Yeah, it was. It was the death of creativity as we know it and the human aspect of anything.
And I love that so many people took a stand against it and kicked off and made a stand. Like, in a way, it's kind of unfair to Apple because I think a lot of people were actually just getting a lot of stuff off their chest. Like, it was therapeutic on a lot of ills that have nothing to do with the advert. But, you know, here you've got a company that's always excelled at, you know, assisting and boosting creativity. And they made a kind of an advert that just left a very sour taste, I think, amongst a lot of people who are creative. And I guess that's sort of what I'm alluding to, really, with this whole, you know, actually use the time to get creative and to improve yourself and to learn new skills, because that's the fun of it, right? Yeah, I'd just get really turned off of digital marketing if it's just pressing buttons. It's like, no, it's not about, it's about people.
But it is.
You know, it's about solving people's problems. It always has been, and I think it always will be. And although the AI can assist you with that, it's very much an assistant. You know, it's not going to go out there and trailblaze like you can.
I think it is funny how there's sort of been this real 360, because AI very much sort of wasn't a thing or hadn't blown up yet. And then AI all of a sudden was growing rapidly and everyone was obsessed with it and what it could do and what it could automate. And now it's become so big that people are actually really valuing real relationships more than they probably used to before. Mm. So it's sort of done a bit of a full circle.
And that's in the year and a half that we've had it going so far. And I think, you know, when this gets more advanced and you've got them in your home, and, you know, we're talking about all the kind of interesting stories you hear about, you know, AI, people that are coaching people via AI, and people have got AI boyfriends and girlfriends and all these kind of things as well. And all the stuff that can do, it gets pretty scary. Go on, Kieran.
So
you're smirking. This is making me nervous.
I attended a product development meeting with it was a beauty brand, actually. And what I was being asked, what did I think about various product stories? And one of the product stories, we were going through all the ingredients that was going into this product. One of the product stories they were very excited about and thought I would be really excited about was that the formulation had been created by AI. So it was an AI-led formulation. And they thought this was a really exciting story. And I was like, who cares? Who cares how you came up with that? Why is that even relevant? And oh, well, you know, AI is like big right now, right? It's going to be really big in beauty. I'm like, well, it is, but how is that relevant to like this beauty product? I just don't get it. So yeah, they were a bit disappointed at my like underwhelmness of it, but I'm just like, how does that help me sell a skin cream? I just don't get that.
Two examples that I had last week as well. One relating to this, an AI formulation. This was a supermarket, not in the UK. It's outside the UK, and basically, it had looked at what was in someone's basket, and it had put together a recipe, and basically it made chlorine gas, basically.
Wow.
Which, that's not a very safe thing to make it create. So you could make chlorine gas with what you've got in your basket. Great, thanks. The other one was you start building machine learning into everything. You go, well, based on people like you, you could use these things and you could make this. Here's your product recommendations. And then 60% of those products weren't in stock. So it's all very well having these individual AI tools, but if they're not joined up to the rest of your systems, you then suddenly get into other problems as well. So joined up data is a huge kind of issue.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Would you buy, Louise, would you buy beauty products because they've been formulated by advanced artificial intelligence?
Probably not.
Well, no. If you told
you buy it because it's a great product and it works, it's effective. Now, if that's the end result, that's what I sell, not the fact that it was, you know, created by a machine.
But if you can spin off the fact, say it's been generated by AI and therefore has used more data points than ever before and therefore has created the most effective formulation for getting rid of my wrinkles, then I'm buying the product, but you've given me a story on the way to it.
Maybe.
But it's not, I'd be pretty cynical of that, and I think most people probably would be as well. So I, I don't want to labour this point too long, but I think it's really interesting to me to see this whole 360. AI is amazing. AI is terrifying. Then through to AI is getting on my nerves, through to actually I want more human interaction. Now already through to what's the human aspect of all of this? And I think we need to be considering these questions all the time. And I think that's really the point here is that, you know, generating content, fantastic. You can use AI to generate content, loads of opportunities. But really, innovation, creativity, that understanding our customer journey, all the things that have been true continue to be true. And I think actually those things will become increasingly important rather than less important than they are now. We'd love to hear your opinions on this because there's a lot of discussion about this online at the moment. So get in contact, targetinternet.com/podcast. All the tools that we mentioned will be in the show notes. We have got various masterclasses coming up. We've got our ChatGPT ones and our GA4s. So targetinternet.com/masterclass. Sign up for those. And we will speak to you again on the Digital Marketing Podcast. For more episodes, resources, to leave a review or to get in contact, go to targetinternet.com/podcast.